Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, but Dr. Wamalika.
Yes, good afternoon.
Are you well this afternoon?
I'm doing fine in the Lord.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We're still talking about the new earth and concluding this particular fundamental belief of the Seventh-day Adventist. Now, Jesus says, "Behold, I am making a new thing." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." That's according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Pastor, what yes. will the new earth be like?
I was thinking that before I answer that question, there is something I need to help the listener to get. When we say new, remember the New Testament was written not in English, not in African, not in Swahili. It was written in Greek. So for you to understand it, you need to find a bit what in Greek it meant by the word new. The word new in Greek is the word kainon. And it does not mean new like in English.
Oh, okay.
It means, it comes from the word kainos. It means the same thing, but now new in freshness. New in quality.
Okay.
That very thing has not been found exactly like it is now. So when we say new heavens and the new earth, we are describing them in a new freshness. Not in respect with the age, but in respect with the quality. So it is new in quality.
Yeah.
So your question was, what will the new earth be like? No human being has enough language to describe what the new earth will be like. But the Bible tells us that righteousness will dwell there. The word dwell means every minute that passes will be a time of righteousness. Everything there will be righteous. And also the new earth will be the eternal home for the redeemed. It will not be a shack. It will be a home for the redeemed. It will be a place of perfect environment for life, for joy, and for learning. But the greatest thing is that God will dwell with the redeemed. We may not get a better description than that one. The new earth is perfect. Beyond our word perfect. Can you imagine where righteousness dwells? Can you imagine where there's a perfect environment? Can you imagine where life, joy, life still shows youthfulness and freshness, whereby the people be young in freshness forever, and God himself will be with his people? So that is that's a description that touches us. When the Bible says God himself will dwell with his people and be their God, that word dwell, it means to relocate geographically from one place and dwell another place permanently. For example, if you leave South Africa, you come and dwell in Nairobi, never to go back again, we say you have come to dwell in Nairobi. So by Bible saying that God will dwell, it means it will involve a geographical realignment of the universe so that this new earth will become the headquarters of the whole galaxy. God will geographically migrate and dwell here. This will be where all angels will be coming to learn of the story of redemption. That's why the Bible says God himself will be with his people. That word dwelling means there will be a geographical rearrangement. The whole heaven, the way it gave Christ, it will come down. and occupy here the new earth.
Beautiful one. Now, yes. So
we are going to lose the sharks. If there's anybody, every time you pass where the shark is, remember that there will be no shark.
Yes, yes.
There will be no a homeless person. Just imagine of that. There will be no high blood pressure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So it's quite interesting. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something to look forward to. Now, why does this concept of a new earth hold such a special place in the beliefs of the SDA Church?
First of all, you need to know that this concept is not only dear to the SDA. It is dear even to some of our Christian believers. There's also who believe this new earth. But the reason why it is so dear to us Adventists is because it marks the end of suffering, the end of death, the end of pain. The Bible says there will be no more pain. Sin will be no more. The great battle will be over. There will be no gap between the intention. There will be no gap between intention and the performance. There will be no gap in between. So that what you like to do, you will do it whole. There will be no limitation where Paul says, the good I want to do, I don't do. And the bad I don't want to do, I keep on doing. It will not be there. Because of that, we shall not have a cry like the one in Romans 1, verse 24, where Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? And then, but in the new heaven, that cry will be no more. That is why it is so dear to us that we shall be in a framework where we shall be able to praise and glorify God without any limitation. I hope you have got it here.
Now, how does the understanding of the new earth then inform our faith in the here and now?
When you believe that these things are true because God is saying so in the Bible, then the following implication comes. Number one, you consider yourself as a pilgrim on this earth, so that as you walk through it, the things that are here, you know, they are not for you. You are a passerby. So your mind is not fixed on the things of this world. Your minds are fixed on the things that have been promised. So you consider yourself not of the world, neither by the world, but you consider yourself of God. So you live all with all the joy, all the prayer, all the life. You live looking forward for that day. And it has been, the Bible says very clear that all creation, when we say creation, we are talking of all the things that are animate and things that are inanimate. All creation will bow down and confess that God is love. You live knowing that we are not destined in the cemetery, to end in the cemetery. We are destined to glorify God, and therefore we live for Him. So it has a great impact for us here and now, so that the things that drive us are not necessarily the things of the world. We live knowing that we are destined for a new heaven. By the way, the word heaven is the Greek word ouranos, does not mean where God and angels stay. The word ouranos means the sky or the air is a new elevation. There will be no climate change. There will be no destruction of the ozone layer. That's what he's saying. He's saying everything will be new. So it is saying, when say the new earth, you know, earth is where we are walking through on probation. The arena we live in, the place where God uses us to prepare us for eternity. And therefore, if there's any person who is going through pain and is listening to us, if there's any person who is going through suffering, I have good news for you. It is temporary. What God has prepared for us is nothing, is greater than, you cannot compare it with what we are having now. That's why the Bible says the weight of glory that awaits us is greater than the suffering we are going through. Because of that, you can speak Paul. Paul says in Romans 5, because of that, we rejoice in affliction. It's very interesting, because we don't fix our attention here. Our attention is on the greater things that God has prepared for us. Yes.
Pastor, how would you then wrap up this conversation we've been having since we started, before we let you go?
I would like to say that the new earth, the new heaven and the new earth is not merely a doctrine. You know, doctrines, you can revise them. It's a revelation. It's a revelation that the value that God has put on us is so great that it is very hard for man to be lost. For you to be lost, you'll have to work hard to resist it. So what we are talking of is that the new heaven, the new earth is not just a recreation or a do-over of the old earth. No. It is new. The whole description has not been exhausted yet. We are citizens of that earth, of the new earth. We shall not need a visa. We shall not hold expiry resident permits.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes.
We shall be citizens. We are citizens when we believed God, and we accepted Him, and we became His children. It came to us as a heritage, and therefore, when we shall be there, we know that the gifts that God had given man will germinate to their fullest. For example, things like marriage, family, learning will go on forever. You remember, anything that God gave man before sin, it will be recaptured back again.
We are
the only species of creation that marry and give birth to children. Angels don't do that. And that uniqueness of our species will be carried over to the new heavens. But now the generation that will come there will be a righteous generation. So we believe that what God intended would become a reality, and the learning will be throughout eternity. So what we can say in all this is that consider yourself as citizens of the new heaven and the new earth. And because of that, remember, whatever we are going through today is temporary. It's completely temporary. It is not meant to be permanent. So that even death itself will be able to die one day, and there will be no more death.
Oh yes.
So, oh yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
Drew, to appreciate you having coming through this side, and we wish you a blessed day and a happy Sabbath ahead.
may we see you in the new heavens and the new earth. May I tell a listener listening to me today that we are destined for a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. That not only us, but even those who died, they will be resurrected. They will join us together. If you lost your mom, your dad, your child, or somebody you know, they will come out from the grave. What God has prepared to us is beyond description.
Oh, yes.
So I look forward to meeting you on that day in the clouds.
Oh, definitely looking forward to that, Pastor. Man, definitely looking forward to that. Thank you so, so much for your time.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.